comes before men to be seen of men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So why does he tell us in chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds, good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven? And then he says in chapter 6, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. I think the key is if we look at why we're doing it. First of all, when I ask the question, it says, and I don't think I've seen this before, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Who lights, if we are the candle, who lights that candle? Somebody. This isn't hard. God lights it. So it's God that's lighting us for what purpose? To give light to others. So he's not saying that we need to not be careful to hide our light. It's saying that we need to be careful not to frustrate the purpose that God has given in lighting us. He didn't light us to go off in a corner and hide. He lit us to give light to others. And so then the reason here, let your light so shine before men, verse 16 of chapter 5, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. In chapter 6, he says, don't do it as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. So you can have two different people doing the same thing, and one is doing it not because people are watching, not because he's trying to get glory. He's just simply doing it, and others see it happening, and they say, hey, I used to know that man. He's different. And they give God glory. Others, I may do it because I know you're looking, so I do it to get my own glory. Now I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12. Have any of you read this lately? This was our banner, I guess you could say, when Gaylord was here. And I was already thinking about this message and looking at it. And so it really struck me. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12. And how well this fits in with our theme here. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation or your lifestyle honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. What do you think people see when they look at your life, our lives? I want to share some things that I see and that others see that I'm sure bring God glory. I see husbands and wives working hard at this thing called marriage and family. I and doing a good job of it and showing the world it can be done by God's grace and for God's glory. I see children who are here this morning because their parents got them out of bed, fed them, dressed them, got them to church. I praise God that the next generation is being taught values that will shape them and affect them for eternity. Some of those parents brought children that he did not father and she did not give birth to. But they've spent countless hours and dollars and prayers and tears. Some having driven and flown hundreds and thousands of miles to give these least amongst us a chance at life. I see a man willing to teach Sunday school, even when it's hard, maybe less than enjoyable. I used to know that man in a different setting, in a different environment, and he's different now. And I glorify his Father in heaven. I see men and women setting up furniture and lamps and plants and tissues and peppermints for viewings and funerals, doing their best to be there for the grieving families, taking everything back down again after most of us are gone. And I admire their willingness to serve, glorify their Father in heaven. I see youth who are striving to serve the Lord in their youth and with their strength while they are young, seeking to honor their parents, all while having to maneuver through unprecedented pressures and pitfalls and tactics of that enemy who seeks to destroy us all. And I like to say, way to go. Keep on keeping on. In the end, we shall reap if we faint not. Don't give up. Don't give in. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher, the beginner and the completer of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him, because of what he had to look forward to, endured the cross, despising the shame. Despising means to disdain, think little or nothing of. He disregarded the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Set down at the right hand of the throne of God. How's that for reaping if we faint not? I see some of you going with those youth and suffering broken bones just trying to keep up. We see some of you in shattered relationships, seemingly with no real hope of it ever getting better, and yet not turning your back on God, but saying it hurts, it doesn't make sense. But I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. We see you, and we hurt with you. And I realize that some of the things I face and the hurts I've experienced maybe aren't so bad after all. I see parents struggling to balance work and play, fun and responsibility. How much of either is too much or too little? What is truly best for my child in the long run? And praying, God be glorified in my family. I want to put in a plug here. I've mentioned this already, I believe, but I want to put in another plug for the Men of Valor sessions from this year. If you have children, if you hope to have children, I really, really would encourage you to take in those sessions that were shared there at Men of Valor. Especially, and different ones of us will relate differently to different speakers and so on, but Some of the things that Lauren Wissman, he was the third speaker, that he said about child training, both in his session and in the question and answer session at the end. One of the things he said is that he and his wife agreed to make it their goal that by the time a child is 3 years old, he needs to be trained to consistently obey the first time without question. By the time he's 3 years old. And that has paid off down the road, and I will second that. I'd encourage you, check it out. There's sessions there for children of all ages and different things about, it was in the question and answer session, they discussed different things about older children and broken relationships and so on, but I would just really, really encourage it. It was just very good. What else do men see that gives them opportunity to glorify your Father? They see people coming to Detroit after a flood and cleaning up. Cleaning septic and wet drywall and just gross stuff without pay. Going to World Missionary Press. Sitting on boards and meetings. Helping ministries operate and run. Kids Club. I've been at Kids Club this year. We haven't helped in a number of years. We've been helping again this year, and I've just been blessed to see the interactions and to be able to myself interact with some of the children and just the broken hearts, the broken. I'll just give you an example. There's a young man in my wife and I ride together, and there's a young guy. I think he's 10 or 11. And we were getting to his house to drop him off, and he commented, so-and-so house, or so-and-so lives there in that house, but his mom and dad are breaking up, and I don't know if they're married or not. But we'll call him Billy. I don't remember what his friend's name was, but Billy's glad because he doesn't really like his dad anyways. And it was just a matter of fact. And to the broken relationships, the broken settings that these children come from, and I see many of you pouring into those family, those children's lives. I see you feeding the widows and the widowers. Some of you provide meals, some deliver them. Some of you have adopted some of these elderly and help with seeing that their needs are met. And God smiles, and others give God glory. I see you mentoring young people, taking time to send a text or make a phone call, maybe even going for lunch, making an effort to care for the spiritually young among us. I see you inviting others into your homes or visiting others, making phone calls, sending notes and letters to those serving away from family and home. Notes of encouragement to those who are shut in or whatever. Writing checks so others can serve away from home. So a widow in Moldova can eat. Or a child in Africa can go to school. You are the hands and feet of Jesus, and it touches his heart, and his Father is glorified. The widow's banquet. I was here last night. I was honored to be included as 140 plus widows were served and pampered just because they're widows. And the comments that were made and the things that were said, they thank you and thanked God for you. I see some of you starting a family in spite of the circumstances. Things are not ideal. Society is continuing to be more and more corrupt. Our future as a nation has never been more uncertain. And yet you start out believing that God is God. You set out to raise a family in spite of the evil around us. Determine that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and God will be glorified. And I'm going to borrow a line from Hebrews. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of cleaning restrooms, decorating the church, relating to grandchildren and neighbors and co-workers, being industrious at work, sending texts to the one bringing the message, leading small groups, being greeters, cleaning, having devotions with your family at home, teaching them to choose the good and reject evil, fathers, strong but gentle, kind but firm, setting direction for their families, loving and teaching their wives and children, wives honoring their husbands, working together with them to raise up a godly seed. I see you loving and supporting and encouraging one another. I've watched some of you suffer, and especially watched family members suffer. Almost unspeakable things. I've watched you suffer gracefully and in faith. Some things I don't see. I don't see you in your prayer closet or on your knees beside your bed or your basement or your barn loft or wherever it is, pouring out your heart in prayer. But God does see that. And He will reward you openly, and others will give Him glory. Remember, this is all about the glory of God. I don't see you trumpeting, and I want to stress this, I want to emphasize this. I don't see you trumpeting how much you do or how much you give. I see generous offerings. I know you do give. But I don't know who gave what. And I praise God for His provision and blessing. I don't hear, I'm the one writing the check for so-and-so. It needs to be done the way I say. I want to bless you in that. None of us can claim any glory for himself. You are what you are by the grace of God. And all of us can point to people in our lives who in one way or another have influenced us in a positive way. For many of us, it's our parents. Maybe it was a grandparent or a friend or a teacher. I hope most of us can point to many such examples. And many of us also realize that many of those influences are now those who've gone before. They're no longer here to influence and guide and correct and encourage us on our way. Maybe some of them you never even knew personally. We've received the scriptures. Because they were written by holy men of old who spake as the Spirit gave them utterance. They've definitely influenced us. Maybe you've read stories of missionaries or heroes of the faith from the scriptures. So whether they're still here or not, whether we've known them personally or not, we all have many people who've made choices and have done hard things that have aided in influencing us to Christ. And they are our witnesses here this morning. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So this morning I'd like for you to picture a large crowd of people looking in on us this morning. I don't know what it means when it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." A witness is someone who observes. I don't know what that means. I don't know if those who've gone before can literally look back and see us. I don't know. I'm sure not trying to establish any theology there this morning. But I want us to picture that. And I want to try to picture, as you think about a large crowd of people looking in on all of us this morning, Picture people in that crowd. And they are those people in your life who've influenced you along the way. Again, whether you know them or not, you might be thinking of Adoniram Judson or somebody else's story that has inspired you. But they're in that crowd, and these particular people you're thinking of are watching you in particular. They're watching you here today and in this coming week. They're pulling for you. They're cheering for you. They're hopeful for you. They're cheering you on and they're speaking to you. And I'm going to read. You don't need to turn here. I'd like just to read from Philippians 2. Now, this was Paul writing to those writing to the Philippians. And then he also wrote to those in Thessalonica. But I want you to hear his words coming from this cloud of witnesses, those people who have been an influence in your life. And they're saying, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights." There we are. Let your light so shine before men. "Among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." So that person, those people who have helped and encouraged and trained and whatever in your life, they're saying, "Be faithful, persevere, carry on, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." And then in 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20, Paul says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" That was what Paul was looking forward to. As he ministered, as he was a missionary, as he spread the gospel, he said, he's asking those in Thessalonica, "What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? What are we going to rejoice about in the day of our Lord?" It's you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. "For you are our glory and joy." We are surrounded by a crowd of witnesses, and they're cheering for us. Maybe you're here this morning and you're discouraged. You say, "It just doesn't seem to matter. Nothing I do turns out right or seems to matter. I try so hard to honor God. And yet it seems like those around me who don't even seem to think of God are doing better than I am and have more freedom and less cares than I do. Is it even worth it?" In the book of Malachi, God speaks to the children of Israel. And he says, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy," those that are not serving the Lord, they're happy. "Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day that I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." like to encourage us this morning to live every day as unto the Lord. We cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us. But let us also strive to live in such a way that when this short life is over, when our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is past, we can say with Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. You are the light of the world. And I glorify Your Father in heaven and thank Him for you. Now I would like to go back to Matthew 6. No, I'm sorry. 1 Peter 2. The one in 1 Peter 2. And I want to emphasize again. He says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And then I want to especially notice the contrast in verse 10. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And then I'd like to turn to Psalm 115. I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'm going to read this. And then, Aaron, if you would, I'm going to put you on the spot this morning. Are you all right with that? You almost skated free today. The chorus book, number 26, I'd like to sing that in closing. But just a reminder, I want to thank you. I really do. I want to bless you for the work that you do, the things that you do to bring God glory with your daily lives. And now here in the end, I'd like to just have all of us take our, just turn and direct the praise to God. Psalm 115, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory, for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heaven. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath He given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Father, I just ask today Your blessing on each one here. Lord, You see so much more than any of us see as individuals. Bless those things that are done in secret. Bless those things that are done as a matter of course. I pray that You would be with each one of us this week as we go to work, as we go to whatever we do, the wives and mothers that are at home with their children, and just different roles that each one fills, those that are alone, those that are struggling, those that are rejoicing. I just pray that You meet each one, minister to each heart, And I pray, Lord, that we could be encouraged that we are the light. We are showing you to those around us. And help us to be mindful of that. Help us, Lord, to do it for your honor and your glory. And we give you the glory. Bless each one here. We thank you. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.